And now politics. The events in Jena got President Bush's attention, or at least that of the reporters covering him. He was asked about the situation at a press conference yesterday.
The events in Louisiana have saddened me, and I understand the emotions. The Justice Department and the FBI are monitoring the situation down there. And all of us in America want there to be, fairness when it comes to justice.
Joining us to talk about the reaction to Jena and other stories on the political front, Ruben Navarrete. He serves on the editorial board of the San Diego Union-Tribune, and he's also a syndicated columnist and one of our barbershop regulars. He joined us by phone from his home in San Diego, California. Also with us is Robert George. He's an editorial writer and columnist for the New York Post. He joins us from NPR's New York Bureau. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
Hi.
First, let's talk about what's happening in Jena. Robert, if you would start, interesting remarks by the president. Parse that for me.
I think he actually struck the right tone. He made it very clear that the Justice Department is keeping an eye on these things, as in the past, historically, the feds have had to get involved in state cases, particularly in the South, where issues of racial justice, racial injustice, have popped up from time to time. I thought it was actually the exact right tone that a president should take there.
And speaking of tone, Jesse Jackson, who was front and center at yesterday's rally, reportedly accused Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama of not speaking out enough about the events there and, quote unquote, acting like he's white. Now, Reverend Jackson later said he did not recall making that particular remark.
Right.
But do you think that do you think that his comments represent any broader sentiment about how Barack Obama's reacted to this?
I think, frankly, that was exactly the wrong tone to take. In fact, I mean, as we've heard from your reports from your latest interview, the reaction and response to the Jena 6 was very much a grassroots movement, and you've seen a number of high school and college students, communicating with each other on the internet and getting this movement going. And I just thought that Jesse Jackson's statements were incredibly inappropriate. I mean, Obama a few months ago, for example, has been the only candidate to mention the Gennaro Wilson case down in Georgia, where you've got a young man basically put away for 10 years for a consensual sexual relationship. Obama did get involved in that because he felt that it made a larger point in context with Scooter Libby getting a commuted sentence. I thought that Jackson was completely and totally out of line there, because the candidates cannot get involved in every single issue that's going to be going on down at the state level. And Jackson said that, if he had been running for president, he would have been all over the Jena 6 case. But, a lot of things have happened in the last 20 years since he first ran. And Obama is not running to be president of Black America, which Jackson basically was in 84 and 88. And I think Obama he should not be criticized that way.
Ruben, I want to get your take on both of those issues. First, you're in California, and, this is, I don't know whether this Jena story is an East Coast story. Is this story resonating out where you are?
I think it resonates, Michelle, equally all over the country. And, in the media age in which we live, it's important or unimportant all around the country. It doesn't really divide it by geography. And so I think it is resonating with some folks out here. But, I've said all along that this is really the wrong cause for African-Americans to go to bat for, because this was a case where the African-Americans were not being victimized. They were, in fact, victimizing somebody else. And I don't think the district attorney in this case performed well at all. So I was a little pained when he took my line at a press conference the other day and stood by the real victim in this case, the young kid Justin Barker, who got beaten, and said, "Here's the real victim." But that notwithstanding, I think that there is a resonance with a lot of folks about this case, because we look back on our history. I remember sitting back in college and studying the civil rights movement in various classes, and I remember I couldn't get away from this fact that maybe I'd been born too late, and oh my God, I missed all this great history. And if this stuff was happening today, I'd be down there. And so now all of a sudden you have to catch a glimpse of that in Gina, and you hop a bus and you go down there thinking you're going to find the civil rights movement. My only point is it's a little more complicated than that. It's not quite a good fit.
Right.
But, you know.
Mm-hmm. We're going to just pause here for a minute. Ruben Navarrete is a syndicated columnist. Robert George is an editorial writer for The New York Post. I'm going to ask them both to stay with us while we continue our conversation about the latest in politics in a moment. I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're continuing with our weekly political chat with Ruben Navarrete, a syndicated columnist, and Robert George, an editorial writer for The New York Post. I wanted to turn to the issue of the Republican presidential candidates. They were criticized this week, even by some in their own party, because several of the so-called top-tier candidates have refused an invitation to a debate at Morgan State University, an historically black institution, which is scheduled for next week. They've also taken heat for skipping a recent chance to debate on the Spanish language television network Univision. You know, Ruben, what do you make of this? What message do you think they're sending here? Or do you think it is really scheduling issues, as they have said?
No, Michelle, no. I don't have that for a minute. I mean,
well, they're busy. I don't know. They've got a lot of things going on.
No, that's a lie. That's what they call a lie. That's not a scheduling issue. This is a direct snub and a mistake. It's a terrible blunder by the GOP. Because as Jack Kemp put it, these are Republicans, as you say, who are criticizing them. Newt Gingrich is saying this is a terrible error, okay? Jack Kemp, who is our former HUD secretary and former congressman from New York, and really is the reason I think a lot of African Americans and Latinos took another look at the Republican Party as not being as intolerant as we thought. He said, likewise, you can't keep doing this. You can't keep skipping these debates. One of these days we're going to be meeting in a country club someplace. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's an important message for the GOP, that this is a terrible blunder. They have a message to give to Latinos and African Americans, but they can't give it if they don't even show up. So they've conceded the field to Democrats. Democrats are going to do what any politician would do. They're going to take those things that were conceded to them and consequently not work hard for those votes, you see. So the real losers in this are not just the GOP, but also African American and Hispanic voters, who are being written off by one party and taken for granted by another. That's not political power.
Robert?
I would say it's a 50-50. I should say that I can't really be here today because I have a scheduling conflict. But I think it's a 50-50 on these debates. I think that a pure political case can be made for not going to the African American scheduled debate at Morgan State.
And except that, if I could just point out, because Ruben and I participated in the debate at Howard University,
right, yeah,
which was organized by the same person, you know, Tavis Smiley, sure. A PBS commentator and a radio host. It was our understanding, Ruben, correct me on this, is that Tavis had last year negotiated with the heads of both political parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, in setting these dates and had assurances that
right.
All candidates would show up at all these, at both of these debates, and this was established
right.
months ago.
I respect that. I mean, I'm a bit surprised at that. However, I will say that in the context of basic political voting over the last 40 years, African Americans have given their vote, particularly at the presidential level. It changes at state levels, but at the presidential level, 90%, 90+% to the Democrats. So this has created this interesting kind of a vicious cycle where Republicans don't think that they're going to get votes from African Americans. African Americans then don't give their votes or often reject Republicans out of hand. I mean, I think I'll go back just to 2000, for example, where George W. Bush actually broke precedent and, as a candidate, went to the NAACP convention. What happened during the election? The NAACP then ran an ad castigating him on the issue of a hate crimes law down in Texas, which then caused Bush not to want to go to any of the NAACP conventions for the next several years. So from the Republican perspective is they feel that they're not going to get an even hearing at a debate like that, particularly given Tavis Smiley, who does some wonderful things and has some interesting insights. He is basically an activist for, let's say, the more left of center or for more pro-Democrat issues.
Okay, but he's not asking any questions. The questioners are NPR's Juan Williams, right. Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Cynthia Tucker, and Ray Suarez from the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer, who's a very trusted moderator and commentator. I take your point, but I do want to move on to the whole, what sure. about the Univision question?
It seems to me that
the GOP in recent years has been actively courting the Latino vote, which is viewed as a swing vote.
That I think is an error on their part. I mean, Bush got around 40% of the Hispanic vote in the 2004 election, and he's made some strong outreach towards the Hispanic community. Now, of course, what's happened politically in between then is you've seen a big divergence among Republicans when it comes to the issue of immigration. And I don't know whether the candidates wanted to duck the debate because of the immigration issue, but I do think that is an error on their part.
Well, do you think what I want to know is, do you really think this is going to matter next November? Because are that many people really watching these debates, Ruben?
I'm sorry.
Okay, Ruben?
Yeah, Michelle, I think it will matter because people's impressions of candidates are formed early. And I think they're being formed right now. They've been formed 6 months ago. Right now, people are busy making their mind. If you're a Democrat, you're trying to decide between Obama and Hillary, or if you're a Republican, between Giuliani, Romney, McCain, whoever. And so this is really important. This moment in time is important. And I don't think people are not just going to tune in when they get into the voting booths.
Robert?
I do think it should be kept in mind, too, though. We're right now in this, going through this primary season. The candidates on both sides are focusing on what are perceived as the groups that speak specifically to that are elements of their base, elements of their coalition. So that's why Democrats will go to a labor debate, the Republicans will do a values debate, things like that. It is unfortunate Republicans, you know, do not see African Americans as part of their coalition, so they feel that they can dismiss that debate and not pay a political price. Because, again, I think that's the case. However, okay. I think they will pay a political price in the context of the Hispanic debate because, as we said, that's more of a swing vote.
Okay. Gentlemen, we're going to have to leave it there. Robert George is an editorial writer for the New York Post. He's in NPR's New York Bureau. And Ruben Navarrete, our barbershop regular, is a syndicated columnist, a member of the editorial board at the San Diego Union-Tribune, a contributor to CNN.com. He joined us from his home in San Diego. Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Thank you,
Michelle. It was great.